ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चन्द्र जय गौरभक्तवृन्द जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानन्द जय द्वैत चन्द्र जय गौरभक्तवृन्द। We're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7, Lord Chaitanya in five features. Today's verse is number 103. Iha shuni bole sarva shanyashira gano tumake dekhya jaiche shakshat narayano. Iha shuni bhale sarva shanir shiragana toma kede kiya jaiche sakshat narayana. Iha. This. Shuni. Hearing. Bhale. Spoke. Sarva. All. Sanyar shira. Of the Mayavadi sannyasis. Gana. Group. Tomake. Unto you. Dekiye. We see. Jaiche. Exactly like. Sakshat. Directly. Narayana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation: hearing this, the Mayavadi sannyasis became somewhat humble and addressed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Narayana himself, who they all agreed he was. Please repeat. Hearing this, the Mayavadi sannyasis became somewhat humble and addressed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Narayana himself, who they all agreed he was. Purport. Mayavadi sannyasis address each other as Narayan. Whenever they see another sannyasi, they offer him respect by calling Om Namo Narayanaya. I offer my respect unto you, Narayan. Although they know perfectly well what kind of Narayan he is. Narayan has four hands, but although they are puffed up with the idea of being Narayan, they cannot exhibit more than two. Since their philosophy declares that Narayan and an ordinary human being are on the same level, they sometimes use the term Daridra Narayan, poor Narayan, which was invented by a so-called Swami who did not know anything about Vedanta philosophy. Therefore, although all these Mayavadi sannyasis who call themselves Narayan were actually unaware of the position of Narayan, due to their austerities, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged them to understand him to be Narayan himself. Lord Chaitanya is certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, appearing as a devotee of Narayan, and thus the Mayavadi sannyasis, understanding that he was directly Narayan himself, Lord Chaitanya is certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, appearing as a devotee of Narayan, and thus the Mayavadi sannyasis, understanding that he was directly Narayan himself, whereas they were false, puffed up Narayans, spoke to him as follows. Iha shuni bale sarva sanya shiragana. So the sanya shiragana is the group of Mayavadi sannyasis that Prakashananda Saraswati met with in Benares. And that was at the behest of the Brahmana in Benares who had surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was also associated and knew everybody in town, including all the Mayavadi sannyasis. And he was very concerned because the Mayavadi sannyasis had been speaking ill of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Mayavadi sannyasis engage in reading Vedanta, and their lives are very dry because they try to avoid any kind of sense objects. They sleep on the floor, and they avoid any joyful outbursts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on the other hand, would be seen chanting and dancing throughout the town in great ecstasy. And that was really abhorrent to the Mayavadi sannyasis. And they had been criticizing Mahaprabhu, saying that he's a kind of sentimentalist. He has no idea about real spiritual life, which really means just to be very dry and withdrawn from the world with the ultimate goal of becoming God yourself. It's a misguided philosophy. And there are a lot of misguided philosophies, but they had institutionalized it. And the Brahmana, who was affectionate to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was eager that they meet Mahaprabhu. Of course, Mahaprabhu didn't associate with any Mayavadi sannyasis, but to appease this Brahmana, he agreed. In fact, when the Brahmana came to tell Mahaprabhu that he wanted him to meet, Mahaprabhu was smiling because he had already decided that he would benedict Prakashananda Saraswati. In fact, he must have decided that long ago, because as you know, if you go back to the story of Tapana Mishra, Tapana Mishra was a Brahmana and he had read too many books. Therefore, he became confused about the goal of life and how to attain it. This is an admonition given in the Shastra that one should not read too many books because not so many books are necessary, just the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, and so forth. Who has actually assimilated any of those anyway? Besides trying to develop a repertoire so it appears as if one knows everything, which is actually one of the prohibitions given by the Goswamis in the Nectar of Devotion. It's mentioned that one shouldn't do this. But Tapana Mishra, because he had a very strong intelligence, and this can be actually a curse if you're too intelligent, then you depend on your intelligence, and bhakti doesn't depend on intelligence, it depends on the heart, really. Simple people take very easily to bhakti. Tapana Mishra, confused about the goal of life, then had a dream that he would meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu was traveling in eastern Bengal, then it happened that just after his dream, Tapana Mishra met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya's arrangement. And Tapana Mishra surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he told him, I don't know what the goal of life is. Although I've studied many things, I can't ascertain what the goal of life is. And then Mahaprabhu...
We're just checking they can hear back there.
Can you hear back there?
Yeah, a little bit louder.
Okay. Because you have to be able to hear over the Shapti Rishi. It's almost like Mount Meru. And so... he told Tapana Mishra that you should chant Hare Krishna. And Tapana Mishra surrendered to him, and who would have expected it? He told him to go to Banaras afterwards. Kaviraj Goswami says it's a kind of an amazing thing. He had surrendered his life to Mahaprabhu, and he had found out the goal of life, and then he told him to go to this whole city of Mayavadis. Because obviously, Mahaprabhu had a plan to go there later, which he did. And he wanted to deliver these Mayavadi sannyasis. So he agreed to go see them. And when he met them, his strategy was quite exemplary, as usual. And so when Mahaprabhu came to meet the Mayavadi sannyasis, he took a very humble role. And when he first came into the room, there's a lot of etiquette observed when one meets with various types of spiritual groups. And Mahaprabhu, as a sannyasi, came in and he washed his feet, and then he sat down in the lowliest place. But and then he showed his effulgence. And that really attracted the Mayavadis because they like light. They then, Prakashananda himself came over and he reached out a hand and he told Mahaprabhu, please come sit in a with us. Come sit up here, you know, in a more proper place for you. And when he reached out his hand and he assisted Mahaprabhu to get up and come to a better seat, Prabhupada mentions that he had gotten some sukriti through which he would be able to understand. This is the soft approach. It's not necessary that one comes in guns blazing, but actually people have to be ready to hear. And Mahaprabhu, by his humility, prepared their hearts because they were touched by that, the fact that he took a lowly role. Prabhupada mentions in this purport too that Mayavadis aren't necessarily very humble because they think they're God. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says there are different ways in which people misconceive of him, or actually they conceive of him but very indirect ways. Can I have a Gita, please? He says, Janto mamupasate ikatvena pratatvena bahuta vishito mukham. What's that verse? 9 what? Jnana jabnena chapyanyaya janto mamupasate ikatvena pratatvena bahuta vishito mukham. So Krishna's talking about different ways in which people worship him, and some people they worship themselves as God. And so this is the category of these Mayavadis. They call each other Narayan. So when Mahaprabhu came and was very humble, it touched them, opened their hearts. Prabhupada writes in the purport in that section, when Prakashananda assists him, that people are already averse or inimical towards Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't make them more inimical, he said. We should act in such a way that their hearts open so that they can accept Krishna consciousness. So then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, maintaining a humble role, finally, the Mayavadis, you know, almost like when Mahaprabhu met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and didn't say anything. And then finally Sarvabhauma said, don't you have any questions? And Mahaprabhu said, no, I understand the Vedanta Sutra, it's just that your explanations are covering its meaning. And then Sarvabhauma wanted to know, well, what can you say about it? And it was a similar situation with the Mayavadi sannyasis. They said, you know, what can you say about this Vedanta? And he began to describe it in terms of sambandha abhideya and prayojana, the various stages. Sambandha means one's relationship with God, and abhideya means the practice by which one connects with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And prayojana means the ultimate goal. And he told them that all of the Vedas actually are divided into these three sections, and they're all indicating that one should come closer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's preaching like this, and it impressed them. So here, iha shuni, hearing. In the Gita, Krishna says, mayasakta mana partha yogam yunjan manashraya asamshayam samagramam yatabhyasasi tachshrinu. Tachshrinu means just hear. And if you hear from a self-realized person, then it goes in and then it purifies one. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapilate says, Satam prasangam mama bhirya sambhido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata tach choshanad ashu apavarga vartmani shradar atir bhaktir anukramishrati. Anukramishrati means step by step. When one associates with Vaishnavas and hears from them in their assembly, in their association, then one will change one's decision about staying in the material world. Not only that, that one's course will be redirected towards going back home, back to Godhead. That means apavarga. Because the path of the material world is called pavarga, which means pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. Pa means that one's obligated to work in the material world. True or false?
True.
Yeah, and then pa means finial, that foam comes from one's mouth. You have to work so hard that charging off to work, charging home, commuting two hours from. This is like the farm animals. They pull the cart so hard that foam comes out of their mouth. Pa, pa, ba, ba. And then you get disappointment because people take away all your money. You make all this money and then someone comes along and takes it from you. One way or another, it gets taken. Even by so-called family members who need it and so forth. And then pa means fear. Even while you're doing all this thing, you're accumulating, you're in fear, bhayam. Ma, and means at the end you die. It's not very optimistic. But apavarga means you reverse that. Just like last night we were talking about, there's shrama, which is hard work for nothing. And ashrama, when we say I live in an ashrama, means you live in a place where you're not doing shrama. You're actually doing work that takes you back to Godhead. So instead of pavarga, you get apavarga. It means you're not staying in the material world to work hard for nothing and then die. Work hard for nothing and then die. but you're actually on a path back to Godhead. It's a joyful path. And that happens, anukramishruti, how? By hearing, in the association of devotees. So Krishna, back to the seventh chapter, first verse of the Gita, he says, maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan manashraya asamsayam. You'll be beyond doubt, and you'll become attached to me, and you'll know everything. How? Tachchrino, if you just hear. And then he says, gyanam teham savigyanam idam bhakshami asheshadaha. You'll know about everything phenomenal and numinous. Everything spiritual and material will become known to you just by hearing. So in this association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ihashuni, they heard, and then they spoke, bale sarva sanyas, and that means that all of them were in agreement. So you can see the systemic effect Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had on everybody. There were hundreds of these Mayavadi sannyasis, and Mahaprabhu's presence was so powerful that just by seeing him and hearing from him, then they were all transformed. That's why it says all of them. Sarva sannyasira, all the Mayavadi sannyasis. It was collective that they had been impressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gana, the whole group. Tomake dekya jaiche. Sakshat Narayan. So now they're saying that actually we see that you're actually Narayan. So they're recognizing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the ways that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to spread the Sankirtan movement was by taking sannyas in the first place. And he had been the great hometown hero of Navadvip. But there were some people that didn't respect him, like the student community. They just thought he was one of them and had insulted him. And so he took sannyas with the idea that people, because of etiquette, would offer obeisances to him. And just by doing that, they'd make advancement. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's strategy. And in the purport, Prabhupada, of course, talks about the misconception of the Mayavadis, where they think they're God. And actually, this is a concoction, Prabhupada says, by so-called Vedantists, so-called Swami, he says, who didn't know any Vedanta. So people do this. They make up spiritual philosophies, and then they propagate them. But that's not how to make a connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to have an authorized process. In the Nectar, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami quotes from the Tantra. He says, Shruti Smiti Paranadi Panchakshri Kibidimbina Aikanti Ki Harir Bhaktir Patayaiva Kalpate. Any kind of devotional service that doesn't follow the Shruti Smiti Panchakshri Kibidi, etc., becomes a disturbance to society. And when people concoct all kinds of spiritual practices, it disturbs the rest of the devotees who are following very strictly the process that comes down in disciplic succession. And finally, Prabhupada writes that they were, the Vayavadis, able to understand him because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took some asset that they had, which was that they perform austerities. And then he allowed them to understand him. And so, in the Gita, Krishna says, Yesham tanta katam papam jananam punyakarmanam te tandva mohanir mukta bachanti mam dridavarta. Those who have acted piously in previous lives, they performed some tapasya. It opens a possibility that they can become more receptive to the Lord. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used that so that they could get some benefit. And now they're warming up to him and actually seeing him as Narayan. And this is the way we find that we meet people here, there, and everywhere who are unacquainted with the process of devotional service or spiritual life at all. There may be little fragmentary ideas about spiritual life, but there's nothing conclusive available to people unless they get a Shapta Rishi. And also, people are very sentimental and they concoct many things. So, as representatives of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if we follow the process strictly, then we become potent in bringing the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to others. In fact, I just the other day posted on Facebook a couple of quotes on somebody else's page, but they're very pointed in this way, where Srila Prabhupada says that even a neophyte, somebody who's just beginning Krishna consciousness, who has firm faith in the fact that the holy name and Krishna are the same, and also in the deities, such people who are strictly following the process can also convert others to Vaishnavas because they're connected to the electricity, so to speak. And then Prabhupada also, in a separate purport, talks about what is a liberated soul. And he says, people nowadays, they don't understand what a liberated soul is. And he said, in the material world, everyone has four defects due to material affliction. And that includes imperfect senses, the propensity to make mistakes, the cheating propensity. And what's the fourth one? Not remembering what the four are.
Subject
to illusion. However, he said, even if somebody is an imperfect soul, if they're following Krishna strictly, then they're also liberated and they can transmit Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is showing what a liberated person is. So from whatever situation of life one is in, if one makes this determination through intelligence, makes a well-reasoned choice to strictly follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his process, which is really well delineated by the Goswamis and then brought to us in a perfect form by Srila Prabhupada so that we can understand it and practice it. And he's also given us the condensed process through which we're lined up with the teachings of the Goswamis. Anyone who's doing that, even if they're a beginner, will have the potency to spread Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jari dako tahi kaha Krishna padesh amara gai guru hana hoi tara edesh. He said that whoever you are, if you come in contact with this, you should take it upon yourself to teach it to other people. This is his open order to everybody. And Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam that the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a manifestation of his internal potency. And it's by that potency that one can come to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So there are specific orders given by Krishna to devotees or by the spiritual master to disciples. And there are open orders also. For instance, this is an open order that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives to everybody that spread this movement. And anyone can take it. And there's no difference between an open order and a direct, very specific order. If you take the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you'll be directly connected with him. You'll have potency. And also, this is the means by which one will make advancement and go back to Godhead. How's everybody doing? 50% air? It's not that much air. So we'll take some reflections. Any reflection? Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So good to see you. I like your ashram.
Wait till you see the whole room.
Okay. Well, that's always indicative of the health of an organization to see the book room.
One quote in here is, I can tell by your book scores that all other programs are successful.
Nice.
I was struck with a nice realization from hearing you, that two things are the importance of purity, and I'd like to share something that the reading from Preaching is the Essence. A little something after Mangalarti.
Yeah.
Which Ramashvar Prabhu, who is very much a fan of what we're doing, has said was the last book published by the BBT while Prabhupada was present and shown to him in Vrindavan. Mm. So there's a section, to be effective preacher, one must be pure and follow the regulative principles. So in the 24th chapter, which I believe is Life's Ultimate Goal, Madhulila, Prabhupada is saying, our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose. We want to create pure devotees so that other people will benefit by their association. In this way, the number of pure devotees increases. Professional preachers cannot create pure devotees. Only a pure devotee can convert others to pure devotional service. It is therefore important for all the preachers in our Krishna consciousness movement to first become pure devotees and follow the regulative principles, refraining from illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. They should regularly chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on their beads, follow the devotional process, rise early in the morning, attend Mangal Arati, and recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita regularly. In this way, one can become purified and free from all material contamination. To make a show of devotional service will not help one. One must be a pure devotee following the devotional process, then one can convert others to devotional service. If a preacher behaves properly in devotional service, he will be able to convert others, otherwise his preaching will have no effect. So, it's so imperative that we practice the principles to become pure, which, as you were saying, will give us the potency. And I was just thinking, and we stress this and share this realization a lot here, is that Srila Prabhupada, in pursuance of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, has given sadhana based upon preaching or the compassionate distribution of love of Godhead in pursuance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is such an important aspect, or just be all and end all of being a follower of Srila Prabhupada, and you're doing so wonderfully, dedicating your life and soul and all your energy to
maintain, teach, and perpetuate the art of transcendental book distribution, which is our number one method of spreading Krishna consciousness. One thing Prabhupada says here, we can convert whole countries by distributing Prabhupada's books. So in conclusion, my realization, maybe you can enlighten us, myself more, and expand on this, that we're trying to develop purity so that we can preach, and the preaching helps us to become pure. And ultimately, this brings us to the highest position of understanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what he really wanted to come to give to this world. So everyone should always keep firmly in mind that preaching is the essence, and that we should mold our life in such a way that, you know, we can do the very best we can.
Thank you. Thanks, Ramaraj, for such important points. In fact, when we talk about book distribution and going out into public and so forth, these days, and in the book I wrote, I talk about how it's really for self-purification. And the combination of that and hearing and chanting is a kind of super sadhana, the two things together. Just as when you have rice, it's a good food. Dal is a good food, but we put rice and dal together. And according to Jamuna's cookbook, you get 42% more nutrition by synergy of the ingredients. They mix together and they make like a super protein. And in a similar way, going out into the world to test out one's own purity, and then coming back and hearing and chanting with the idea of going back out again. These two things together, I've noticed the devotees who have this kind of sadhana in life, they develop in a very robust way their character and also the practice of devotional service. You have to have a good diet in order to be healthy. And it was proved to me when I was in third grade, because I had a friend named Ricky Masano, and he was skinny as a rail, and everyone used to tease him. And we had a science fair, and his science project was that he got two white lab rats that were exactly the same size and weight, and he put them in two separate cages, and one of them he fed, well, at the time was, I don't know if they still have it in America, it was called Wonder Bread.
Yeah.
They still have it?
Yeah.
They advertised that it builds strong bodies 12 ways, and that it was some, you know, super food. Actually, it's just white bread. And that's what Ricky used to eat. So one of the rats, he fed Wonder Bread, and the other rat, he gave all kinds of fresh vegetables, whole grains. And after a few months, the one that was eating the whole grains was like super rat. He looked like he could beat up any rat that you put. And the other one looked just like Ricky. And Ricky was shocked. He won the science fair that year too. He brought the two rats in. The teacher couldn't believe how brilliant the experiment was. But then Ricky changed his diet, because you said it, like, I'm like that rat. So it's really natural, if someone doesn't have a good spiritual diet, you're going to get anemic. And then the next thing is you start blaming the process, or somebody else, or claiming that you're permanently unqualified.
It's better to open the window in the back, because the neighbors might be there.
Open it, gives a draft.
It's already open.
It's one of the great ISKCON pastimes, is fighting with the neighbors. I've never been ever in any temple anywhere where we haven't had trouble with the neighbors. In fact, for Janmashtami every year at ISV, we go around to all the managers' apartments and give them gift cards before. A big bag of cookies, a gift card to Amazon. Like,
oh, you put the Amazon?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Some of them, like $100 or something, so that they'll look the other way when we have 10,000 people come to our temple in a residential area.
If you look closely, you see that this side of the room is a little wider than this side.
Yeah.
That's because we just put in a, what is it, 4 or 5 inch
soundproof.
I know, that's why I was being so loud, because on the way here on the fan, they said, hey, yeah, it's all soundproof now, you can really bang the drum. And I was like, great. You can't be too careful, because that's all it takes. So, you know, just the thing is, there's a question by Devahuti in the Bhagavatam. She says to Kapiladev, it seems impossible to actually break out of the material world. So, can it be done? And Kapiladev says, it can be done by hearing for a long time. So one has to have not only a good diet, but should take a lot of nourishment from hearing. And then it's a test of the mantras, just like in the Vedic times, the Brahmanas would test their mantras. They would kill an animal, and then they'd bring it back to life with the mantra. So we do the same thing. People are, according to the standard of Vishushupanishad, Asuryanamate loka andhina tamasavita tamste pratyabhigashchanti eke chatmano anojanaha. They're akal atmaha, they've killed themselves because of just taking poison from every direction in the material world, so they're already dead. So we test our mantras by taking them out into public, and like, okay, listen to this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and like, they come alive, and they go, hey, it works! So we have to see the efficacy of our own, or rather we can see the efficacy of our own practice by the effect that we can have on others, and that's reinforcing. As you see, oftentimes, when we see new people take to Krishna consciousness and we think, they're more advanced than I am. I'll tell you a story. When we were in North Carolina, we started our first monthly Sankirtan festival there one weekend, I don't know, it was about 8 years ago. And it was really hot. It was 108 degrees every day. And we were going door to door. And we had about 30 devotees from the local area that were going out various places. So I was with 7 devotees on one team, and we were going door to door in an apartment complex. So we went in, knocked on this one door, and a young man opened the door. He was physically impaired. It was very difficult for him to speak, and also he had some kind of muscular deterioration. I had no idea what it was, but it was severe enough that he had a medical assistant in the house that was taking care of him, kind of his guardian. So we opened the door, and the young man was there, and I handed him a book. And just after that, the medical assistant nurse came out, and she tried to take the book away from him, give it back, and say, go away. But he wouldn't tolerate that. He held on to the book. And so I saw that he was unusually eager to meet the devotees. After all, there were 8 of us at the door there. And I was explaining the book to him. And the nurse was sort of fuming, standing by the side, thinking, you know, go away, go away. But he was drinking it all in, and I explained the book to him and everything like that. And then when it seemed like I was wrapping it up, she was saying, okay, that's it, let's go. And then I said, well, one more thing, you know, we do ask for a donation. And she was like, okay, that's really it, now get out. But he insisted, no, that I want to give a donation. So somehow or other, he was able to induce the nurse, as I guess she's beholden to him anyway, to bring back $10 and give it to us. And she said, now really go away. But I said, there's one more thing. We want to teach you a prayer. Do you believe in the power of prayer? I asked him. And he was very enthusiastic, shaking his head. So he said, I'll teach this prayer. And by this time, you know, she was ready to slam the door. So there was this tension in the air. So I said, okay, repeat after me. And I said, Hare Krishna. And the man, as I said, could barely speak. So I could see he was straining every sinew in his body just to say the syllables. And I would say, Hare Krishna, and he was, Hare Krishna. And then I said the next two, Hare Krishna, and he said, Hare Krishna. And we went through the whole Maha Mantra, watching him hold the door open against the nurse and say the mantra, which was very difficult for him to do. Finally, the door closed. I turned around, and the devotees that were with me had tears in their eyes. And I turned to one of them and I said, you know, that was amazing, wasn't it? They said, yes. And I said, but, you know, why are you crying? And one of the devotees said to me, he has more desire to chant the holy name than I've ever had. So I chant every day, but I take it for granted. I just sit there and think, when's this going to be over? And when's prasadam? And when I see somebody that's in this condition and they can barely move, but they're so enthusiastic, and he really was. I mean, it was unusual. It was something that I, you know, you really remember because of his enthusiasm, something he recognized in the devotees, and in that this was a lifeline. And what a dry situation, you know, being confined to this place and in a body that doesn't work. So when we go out, it's like breathing. Any community has to breathe and bring in oxygen. And the oxygen is that realization one gets in interacting with people and seeing how they respond to the mantra. Even the look on their face when they hear the mantra, when they're trying to figure it out, is priceless. Because they know it's something beyond the material world, and it's challenging their sense of reality. Because they're on the way to the bar or restaurant or some other kind of endeavor, but now they're captured by the holy name and they can't get away. It's 8:37. I don't know your schedule here.
You can go on to it.
Of course I can go on. I can always go on, but what's the schedule?
We generally conclude class by 8:45 if you want to go on to 9 o'clock. Generally, we conclude by 8:45.
Are there any other reflections or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned the last point about this realization being like the air or the life. And I was thinking about the verse from Sri Shastaka, Vidya Vatan Jivanam. This is the life of all kinds of
people. Yeah. Or the wife of transcendental knowledge, because it's a concomitant. When you do sankirtan, then naturally you have all the assets you need. The Bhagavatam says, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Jana Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayarahitukam. If you do direct devotional service, then naturally you get, as a concomitant benefit, knowledge and detachment from the world. And Bhagavatam then continues, Tachchadadhana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyantyatmani Chatmanam Bhaktya Shuta Grihitaya. When you're fortified with these two, Jnana and Vairagya, then you can move forward. It also says you should be thoughtful. Then you're fortified in your practice. And this comes from strictly adhering to the system that we've been given. Like this is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, when the demigods are praying to Lord Krishna within the womb. One of their verses, there's two actually that are pointed in this way. Twayam bhujaksha kilasat fadani samadhi navishit chetasaike tvatpadaputena mahatkritena kurvanti govatsapadam bababdhyam. This verse says that one should observe one's full attention, consciousness, in samadhi on Krishna, because he's the source of the cosmic manifestation and everything else. And that one should follow in the footsteps of the Mahatkritena, and that means the great souls who have left behind them a system that you can follow in order to reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada explains that the great souls take up the practice of Krishna consciousness so they can go back to Godhead. And when they do so, they make it approachable. The system is something that you can recognize and follow. And they leave it behind. And essentially it becomes like a boat that anybody can get in. So the process, because it's authorized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because it was performed by a great soul, is available to anybody. And if anyone takes it, then that person too will also be able to cross the ocean of material existence very easily. In fact, so easily that it said, Kurvanti govatsa padam bhavabdhyam. So, vatsa padam means that, govatsa padam means that the hoof print of a calf, which is about that big, and the whole ocean of material existence shrinks to that size. For those who approach the process by following the Mahatkritena, the great souls. And then Prabhupada says it's like, if you approach the boat and just try to get in it, then the ocean shrinks and you can step across it. That's how powerful the process is. So even if somebody isn't a great Mahatma, it could come from any kind of background or be burdened by so many complexities in life, but if that person develops the determination and the intelligence to follow the Mahatkritena, the great souls, and their process, then that person will be able to also cross over the ocean of material existence. And not only that, they'll be eligible for the full result that was attained by those great souls. That's confirmed also in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. Bejrade muneyo tagre bhagavantam adhoksajam sattvam vishudham shemaya kalpante ye nutaniha. That previously all the great sages, they had taken advantage of the process of devotional service to worship Lord Vishnu, knowing that he's beyond the modes of nature, and therefore they would attain the highest benefit. That makes sense, doesn't it? But then it goes on to say that anyone who follows in the footsteps of those sages is eligible for the same result. Kalpante yena taniha. In this world, if you follow behind them to the best of your ability, you'll get the same thing they got. Even if you're not a big sadhu in any way, you become qualified because of that. So this is something that is available to everybody in the world, and you can see that that's how a whole country could become affected. You were saying by book distribution, you're quoting Prabhupada, that the process is delineated in the books, and if somebody is open to following, as Krishna says here in the 13th chapter of the Gita, do you know which verse I'm thinking of? By following what I was just saying? Anyone? Krishna says in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that Anye tvevam ajananta shrutvanebhya upasate tepi chattitarantyeva mrityum shruti parayana. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Who said hmm? You did? Tell us what you said hmm.
I just remember we were reading this chapter together. Yourself, Radhanaparaj, and your buddy Ram. This was a verse that stood out to me. It was just
I remember that, or it's nice that Chris is stating this, because practically, you know, who's conversant in Vedic literatures? Practically nobody, but he's giving us the hope that just by developing that attachment to hearing them.
Yeah. In fact, in the purport, Prabhupada says, one of my favorite lines Prabhupada writes here. He says that some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there's no knowledge of philosophy. In the age of Kali Yuga, people don't have that. That's why there's a chanting of Hare Krishna. It's Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because everything's there. Nikila Shruti Maali Ratnamala Dhuti Nirajita Pada Pankajanta. I Mukta Kaleru Pasyamanam Paritasam Harinam Samshayami. Rupa Goswami writes that all the Shruti, Nikila Shruti Mali Ratnamala, the crown jewel of all the Shrutis, the Upanishads. And what's the Upanishad doing? They have a little lamp, and they're worshipping the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the holy name, because they're trying to reveal it. That's why in the Kali Santarana Upanishad, that reveals the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, tells the whole mantra there. Then Sarva Vedishu Drishyate. It says that all of the Vedas are trying to tell you this one thing, chant Hare Krishna. It's all there in the sacred name, especially in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, yes.
Shifting a little to since Christmas, we've discovered this Shaptarishi Mahatattva program. We thought we were going to Christmas marathon. Then we kept it going in January. January was equal or even bigger?
What bigger?
Bigger in January. So, there's one purport in the 29th chapter, the 4th canto, where Prabhupada says, the Lord, seeing the devotee's merciful attempt, enlightens the people from within automatically. So, book distribution, you know, we could think it's practicalities, like everybody's out there trying to give out their literature or advertise. You know, practically people read it and whatever, and all the books are out there. But that's there, but on top of that, or perhaps even more than that, or the inner mystery or secret of it is that, because Krishna is seeing that my pure devotee, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Bhakti Sananda, wants this, so I make this activity have so much miraculous, Nija Sharva Shaktis, all my transcendental potencies are invested in this process. So, when we're distributing just soft Bhagavad Gita's and soft SSR's, but when you start distributing all the books like this, it's like, Krishna just sends you such nice people, and the whole affair is taken so much more seriously, and people's hearts are so much more moved than just giving out one or two little books. So, and it's like, the main books of Prabhupada, Nectar Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had already had written, at least the first canto we're giving out. But
Krishna,
Krishna book, in those first 4 years up until 1970, I've given, and then people get this, they're getting the gift of Prabhupada, and it's just Krishna is so pleased, and just so much amazing things happen. So yesterday we broke our record, what was it?
17.
That was without Gopal Champu, who usually is a prime contributor to the overall sum. So.
Yeah, thanks. That was much to the point, actually, because as you mentioned, it's an activity that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada cherished so much that they enacted it themselves and that they asked other people to do. Just for that reason alone, it becomes part of the Kurvanti Govatsa Padam Bhavabdhyan, the Mahatkritena, following the footsteps of the great souls who put so much into it. And I like that quote from the fourth canto. I included it in my book.
Yeah.
There's something more to it than it's not just a propaganda machine. It's actually a transcendental activity. And you can see that when devotees go for book distribution. It seems a little bit intimidating at first for people to go out into the great unknown called the public. Anything can happen. And, it is worrisome because, you know, you're outside your comfort zone and such. But then I notice that devotees become addicted to it because they're touching the internal energy. And it's a higher taste. It actually is a higher taste. The same taste that we saw back in the early 70s that devotees got and they couldn't stop going out. I'm seeing now, you know, years later, decades later, there's no difference, the same taste, the same benediction is there. And I think what you were saying earlier, it's such an important point, is you have to have that taste in order to complete your practice of bhakti. That's why we say that book distribution is high sadhana. It's not just selling books, but it's actually a form of high sadhana. It's meant to complete us just as much as it completes the people who get it. Prabhupada said that the temples are our bases from which we send out our troops to war. And he said, just like during wartime, the bombs are raining from the sky like anything. He said, similarly, from our temples, we take out these bombs, the books, and they should be raining, he said, into the laps of the conditioned souls. And so what you got here is a munitions factory putting together these bigger bombs. People are fascinated. Like, the government spends most of its money on defense. We have so many bombs lined up, we don't even know all the different kinds of weapons we have in the U.S. government. But they spend billions and billions of dollars, a huge part of the national budget. People like to build bombs. In fact, most of science, if you have some scientific, Sariputta Prabhu said that the government doesn't really fund so much, you know, trying to find the origin of life and everything like that. There's some money for it, but the big money's in bombs, he said. So there's something satisfying about having these smart bombs like this. I think human beings like to build bombs and see their effect. But you can have, this is the real satisfaction, making these kind of bombs and letting them go. Boom. This is the Mahatattva.
It's a pretty heavy bomb.
Pictures of little petite people carrying all
voices. Yeah, well, it means something. Because when they come home with all this, they really have to reconsider their life. Seriously, because, you know, the devotees who go door to door and sell sets of books find that one of the main excuses people have for not taking a full set into their house is really that, where would I put it? There actually, obviously, there's a lot of room, and you can always find room in your house for anything if you really want it. You know, if I gave you $1 million and it was in a few suitcases, could you find a place to put it? So it's not that. What it is when you bring books into your house and they're a specific genre like these are, you actually have to admit to yourself that you're into it, and to everybody else. Because if somebody walks in your house and sees this, say, "Hey, Larry, what is that?" You know, it's like, "All right, I'm Hare Krishna." You know, I admit it. How could you say otherwise? You know, I'm just studying a little bit. It's just a little research. Larry, you're a Hare Krishna. So these actually wipe out the, you know, they go in a house and somebody's apartment, and they're finished. So, you know, Jiva's not stupid. They know when Krishna's coming after him. In fact, I saw yesterday, you know, we after Bhagavatam class, we go in Harinam around the block. And I always notice this, that little Jiva knows you're there. I mean, it's obvious when you're banging drums and cymbals down the street and dancing that you're there. But somehow or other, they're able to, like, totally divert their attention. So, like, they're not there, they're not there, they're not there, and I didn't hear it. So, you know, Krishna wants everybody to hear it, and he wants them to be happy and wake up. So the devotees, he doesn't get involved so much, especially in the level of Paramatma in the material world. Samaham Sarvabhuteshu. But if the devotees, Prabhupada said, who understand his purpose, get involved, then they get special mercy, because they're actually fulfilling his inner desire. So this is proof here. When you put your heart and soul into a sankirtan, that Krishna reveals the ways and means to expand it naturally. And Prabhupada said this in 1975, when we had those two parties. There was our party, the BBT party, and then Gopal, what is his name? Gopa Vrindapal. He had some other ideas, actually good ideas, but they were at conflict with one another about how to train people and how to distribute books. So they went to Prabhupada and Vrindavan. And Prabhupada said several things about book distribution, but one of them that's relevant here is that he said every devotee has his or her own genius how to do this. And if they're just sincere and they try, then Krishna will teach them from within. And he pointed to his heart. He said, then the master within the heart will show them how to do it. So he said, just be sincere and try, and Krishna will reveal the ways and means. And also, just as a final point, this living on the edge is a good thing. Because actually we are on the edge at every minute in the material world. I think somehow or other in illusion that I'm okay and that everything's going to be fine because I have a mental construct about how I'm going to survive here in the material world. So if one lives on the edge through sankirtan, meaning that you're always reaching for the next goal to increase, and you're not sure how you're going to do it. Like when you have a big marathon, right? Has it ever gone through your mind that, like, well, this year there were special circumstances, like, how are we going to beat that next year?
Yeah.
That's the place to live, where you're always thinking, like, how are we going to beat what we did last time and do more? Because then, in that gap where you're feeling that anxiety, that's where all the growth in devotional service is and the growth in the community. And without that tension, where you're thinking, like, how are we going to grow? And you're depending on Lord Chaitanya to come and save you and make sure it happens. Then it's easy to plateau or just, if you have a lot of money coming in from other sources, just become flabby and not become a powerful organization. So preaching is the essence, not just individually as a sadhana, as you were pointing out, but also for the community at large in ISKCON to have that edginess to us that we're always pushing for the next goal is really important, because then we see every single time when you live in that way and you chant Hare Krishna and you pray to Lord Chaitanya, please come and save me, how are we going to do this the next time and come to the next level? And he always does, then you start to live the life of full dependence on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's a life worth living. Anything short of that is a boring waste of time. Right? Okay. Yes, Prabhu?
It seems sometimes, when I ponder over just what you said, sometimes, like, are we mad men? We're taking so many commitments and depending on completely voluntary service from different individuals, and, you know, of course, devotional service. But, I mean, we have a goal, and then we take on financial commitments and other sorts of commitments, and we hope, you know, please Shri Prabhupada in this manner. And yeah, as you said, it's like almost every month we think, how are we going to do it next month? Do we have enough people to keep the Harinam going? With all the books got?
You've read in the Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta always insisted that his leaders of his mutts were broke. when they got big donations, he would make them spend it on festivals so that they, or even borrow more money. So they were in that gap where they were feeling like, where's it going to come from? He didn't want them to get fat and sit there and go like, we got reserves. What do we got to go out for? So I probably didn't necessarily do that. But it was pretty much always on the move. It was always the next big thing. And he taught this to Kurandar. When Kurandar was, he was probably a lot of appreciation for Kurandar. He was a very attentive disciple and a really good manager. So he gave him this instruction that you should create an environment in which devotees do service that's individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. And then he said you should always create a fresh challenge so that the members of your community want to rise up and meet it. And that's, it always has to be some fresh challenge that everyone's working for. And you know, in the time of Prabhupada, there was always some fresh challenge. And that he said, what? We have to do what? and you know, because he was fully charging. And he was, so everybody else had to keep up. Dai tava pachi pachi. I'm running behind my spiritual master saying, Krishna, Krishna. And so Hanumat Preshak Swami said, well, why is he running? He said, because his guru is running too. He's running after his spiritual master, like everyone's running for Krishna. So yeah, it's like, you know, taking risks, of course they're calculated. Prabhupada was intelligent. He, you know, he'd look at things very carefully. He didn't want to waste money. But if you do your due diligence in all cases, you know, especially when you're spending on infrastructure and you're thinking, if it's for preaching and you're making decisions on how to preach, take the risk, because Krishna will carry what you lack and preserve what you have. It's hard to make bad decisions if you carefully, especially for expanding Harinam book distribution. If you do it for that, then you'll never go wrong. And that's excitement in life. That's where it all happens, in that risk zone, right?
Yeah.
Take your pulse. Yeah. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Shri Harinam Ashram ki jai, Shapta Rishi Mahatattva ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande, Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo, 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 Hari Bom Nitai Gora Hari Bom Vanchakop the Rishja Kripa Sindhaveva Chapatita Lampavani Bhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. What a pleasure it is to come to your ashram. Ram Roy, thank you very much for having me here. This is always a new life experience. I feel revived.
Natari Armarman, 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 Natari Armarman.